our city, our country, our world. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
I have slept with a noise machine for years, and not my wife's snoring. Matt Granite, the deal boss, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save is in. She and I both, I don't know how we sleep without them. And you've got but I need another one, especially for traveling. Tell me about this item. What do you have?
Well, actually, we're going to go beyond what you have as a noise machine or a sleep machine. Mm-hmm. This is not another babbling brook or some type of rain, mist, dew.
Ocean waves, yeah.
Yeah. Those are peaceful, but there's absolutely no research to support that they actually help you fall asleep.
Okay.
So there is a product on the market that's been used by sleep clinics, doctors that specialize in assisting those with insomnia and sleep disorders for years, and it's called the Electrofan.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a tiny high-fidelity speaker, basically a little bit bigger than palm size, ultra-portable, but really, really strong sounding. I'll turn it on for a second right here. And it mimics the same noises of all of those digital sound waves that help us sleep. So primarily the hums, the sounds of what a fan might be on, or the actual white noise tied to an air conditioning system.
Mm-hmm.
These are the noises that actually are clinically proven to help us sleep.
I like it. How much
is
it?
Under $40.
Oh, okay.
You get 20 different noises guaranteed to help you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Ultra portable.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing about this is you are getting something that can also help you focus. Students could use this to drown out background noise. You could use this in an office. I've actually heard from a lot of people that buy this to mask the noises of their conversations. Either they don't want to wake someone up, or they're in a cubicle and they don't want to be as audible.
Oh, okay.
This is an amazing grab for anyone looking to sleep or be more productive.
So many of us work by ourselves. You know, you're alone, you're in front of a laptop, and it's sometimes too quiet. Well, this little background noise, as you say, can help you focus.
Huge fan of it. I have an infant at home. I'm in two of the busiest cities in the world for television and radio.
Right.
This makes a big difference.
The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save, WTAM.com.
Oh, there we go. Listen to that, though.
Save. I'm trying to stay focused. I'm trying to stay focused without going to sleep.
Sorry. My bad.
Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time Monday. Have a great weekend, pal.
Awesome.
Mike Snyder, Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 fans. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Quarterback play was the difference in a positive way for the Browns. Isn't that a novel statement? Browns beat the Giants 20-10 last night in the first preseason game. Tyrod Taylor completed all five of his passes for 99 yards and a touchdown. And then there was the rookie, number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield, 11 of 20, 212 yards, two touchdowns in an impressive NFL debut. And I just like the way he just ran the offense, and he even used his legs to get a couple of first downs. Did some very good things. What did he think?
Did some things well, but there's definitely room for improvement. And then, you know, I'm happy with where we progressed. You know, we got into a little rhythm. Obviously need to be able to run the ball better, but you know, our guys for the first game, not too bad.
Not too bad. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. David Njoku, two touchdown catches, and Antonio Callaway, the troubled one. Well, he had trouble in the first half, but in the second half, he rebounded. Finished with three catches for 87 yards, including a 54-yard touchdown catch from Baker Mayfield. So Callaway performing well on the field in the second half, and the Browns are going to stay with him after they met with him, and then his story about what happened in Strongsville, they are sticking with Callaway. Now, a veteran wide receiver could be coming, actually is coming to town. Will he sign? It remains to be seen, but Dez Bryant via Twitter last night said he'll visit the Browns this week.
I know nothing about that really, and if Dez wants to come, we'll see, you know, but right now I'm more focused on the guys that's in our locker room and trying to continue to get these guys better.
Now, John Dorsey's expressed interest in Bryant, and now it's reciprocal. More on the Browns in a moment. Let's head over to Progressive Field yesterday.
The next delivery to Brantley. A swing and a grounder in the hole, into right. Game-winning base hit. The Indians walk it off again. And Brantley about to get Bob out at first base. A ground ball single through the right side of the drawn-in infield as Brantley shot it between the first and second baseman and gets his walk-off game-winning single.
Indians walk-off winners for a second straight day. They get a 5-4 win, lead the division by 11. Well, we know they've really locked up the division. They move on to Chicago for the weekend. 8:10 tonight, first pitch, Shane Bieber on the mound. You can hear it right here. After one round of the PGA, Gary Woodland at 6-under with a one-shot lead over Ricky Fowler. Tiger at even par. Cavs will begin preseason play October 2nd in Boston against Kyrie Irving and the Celtics. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Browns winners last night 20-10. While Baker Mayfield was impressive, hey, Tyrod Taylor wasn't too bad either. 5-for-5 with a touchdown on the night.
I think we did a lot of good things, but it wasn't a perfect game by any means. And I'm talking all groups, first, second, third, whatever groups you want to say were in there. It's definitely something we can learn from, as well as myself. So I'm going to definitely take a good look at this film. Once we get back.
Browns will get a day off today. Preseason game 2 next Friday night against Tyrod's former team, the Buffalo Bills. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
Browns preseason game last night, a 20-10 win. Around the league, bunch of games. And, of course, the issue of who's kneeling and who's not plays out yet again in the National Football League. Bill Zimfer keeping track of that this morning. Morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Yeah, and this is all fueled by the uncertainty over the NFL anthem policy. Of course, the NFL came out with their policy earlier this year. It was quickly met by a grievance by the Players Association, and since then, it's been up in the air as the two sides try to work something out that's acceptable to everybody. So we had 12 games last night. In half of those games, there was some type of demonstration, probably most visibly down in Miami, where the Dolphins and Buccaneers played. A couple of Dolphins, Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson, kneeled during the national anthem. Robert Quinn raised a fist during the national anthem. But as I said, that was one of a half dozen instances of some type of demonstration. Now, the NFL, Bill, came out and said, look, our policy has not changed. That policy remains that players are expected to stand for the national anthem, or they can go into the locker room during the national anthem if they don't want to stand on the sideline. But because of this grievance and the current standstill between the NFL and the Players Association, the policy is not being enforced. So the policy remains the same. We just have no action being taken here. And as we saw last night, the demonstrations are going to continue until we get some kind of resolution.
Yeah, Bill, this story is not going to go away. I was looking around all the other preseason games, including the Browns. There's a note on every game as far as any, there were no protests between the Browns players last night before the anthem. But every game's got a note on this morning.
Absolutely. Everybody's keeping an eye on what's going on here. And like I said, half of the games last night had some type of demonstration, whether it be remaining in the tunnel, whether it be raising a fist on the sideline. There were a couple of different ones as well. In the Eagles game last night, Michael Bennett walked onto the field during the anthem, came out of the tunnel, kind of walked toward the sideline during the anthem, which we haven't seen before. Others, kind of stood alone on the sideline with their back to the field. So some little different things here, but I think Malcolm Jenkins, who has been very visible throughout all this, he tweeted after the game that more than 60% of prison population are people of color. NFL is made up of 70% African Americans. He said, so what you witness on the field does not represent the reality of everyday America. He continues to be a driving force behind this issue, and we expect to hear more from him.
Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too, Bill.
Speaking of the anthem, out of Atlanta this morning, a decision likely to spark some reaction, as you see it on social media. There's a charter school in Atlanta cutting their Pledge of Allegiance from the morning routine. I'm surprised schools even do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. They say the decision was made in part because the school says more and more kids are choosing just not to stand or recited. So after a while, they're like, look, we just give up and move on. Let's just go ahead and start school and get on.
Good morning, Bill. Here's what's going on. How about sinking your teeth into a juicy burger this weekend? You can do just that at the National Hamburger Festival at Lock 3 Park in Akron. It's one of the largest assortments of burgers in one place. Head to the Lake County Fairgrounds in Painesville for the Ohio Celtic Festival. Feel the heat at Night Under Fire with jet dragsters and fireworks tomorrow at Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk. Or check out the Demolition Derby at the Cuyahoga County Fair on Sunday. The fair is packed with plenty of fun for the kids, with more rides and attractions than ever before. The Civil War reenactors invade Hale Farm and Village this weekend. Walk among the soldiers, experience the battle, and you just might see Abraham Lincoln.
Join Coventry Village for Star Wars Tribute Day tomorrow. They'll have a mobile video game truck. You can battle your friends in the lightsaber arena, get your picture taken with a Wookiee, see The Last Jedi in Peace Park, or take part in an interstellar patio party with DJ and drink specials. Tonight, it's Keith Urban at Blossom and comedian Jim Brewer at the Hard Rock Roxino Northfield Park. And finally, jump back in time and catch a classic flick for just $5 at Cinema at the Square. This weekend's time-honored movies, which are shown on the big screen in Connor Palace, include Shawshank Redemption, Goldfinger, The Spy Who Loved Me, and Hook. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. I'm Cheryl Z, and that's your staycation update on News Radio WTAM 1100.
So what did you think of your first game?
Did some things well, but there's definitely room for improvement. I think a little bit of once those first stringers came out, there was you could tell in and out of the huddle, some substitution problems. So stuff like that need to get ironed out, which is good to see. It's good to get it out there early to where we can work on that and make sure it doesn't happen again. And then, you know, I'm happy with where we progressed. You know, we got into a little rhythm. Obviously need to be able to run the ball better, but, you know, our guys, for the first game, not too bad.
How do you account for the way Callaway turned it around first half to the second half?
You know, I think he was catching his breath a little bit, but, you know, it's just focusing in on doing his job and his job only. You know, there's the execution, you know, when he did it right, obviously it showed. So I think it was just focusing in, realizing he didn't have to worry about too much, just doing his job.
Did you say anything to him, you know, to kind of keep his confidence going?
No, I think I kept telling him to fight through it. Just keep going, keep pushing through it, you know, because I needed him. It's a good... Well, I thought you... Whatever, Ty. No, I just keep telling him to, you know, push through it. And just, you know, fight through it because you, when you're tired, you got to be able to focus. You know, when talk about late in games, he's a guy that we're going to be counting on to play. And so third and fourth quarter, he's got to be able to run those routes and execute it, make the adjustments on the fly. So that was a good thing to have. And so I think it showed well in the second half. Obviously, I think it could have been a little bit better in the first half.
It was good to get our team out and play against a different opponent. You know, there are some things we got to clean up really fast. Obviously, the penalties. That was very disappointing, and I told our team that we can't win many games when you have those kind of penalties. I do get that the officials were calling some things very close. The taunting things, those things we have to make sure that we continue to work through. We're not going to be a team that's undisciplined, and we got to work through that, and we will. But again, it's good to have it happen now so we know how we have to get that knocked out, and we got to get that knocked out fast. Obviously, we got to run the ball better, you know, just overall. I didn't think we got behind our pads and pushed like I think we can, so that's still a work in progress, and we'll work through that. But there were some other good things, too. It's good to see some of the throws down the field from our quarterbacks to our receivers. I thought David obviously had two touchdowns, two huge plays, and Callaway's touchdown, and you know, Baker making plays, Tyrod making plays. I thought the first offensive line from a pass protection standpoint did a good job. We got to shore up some things with some backups. We need to continue to get better that way. So again, it's just coaching. You know, we got to go coach this team as hard as we can and keep getting them better. But we got a ways to go, but that's why they call it preseason games, and that was the first one. So we'll grow from the things that we need to improve.
Can you ask for better than a four play touchdown drive?
I like that. You know, they can get a one-play touchdown drive. But, no, those were some good things, you know. And, again, I thought our defense, you know, it kind of felt like, you know, they were running the ball pretty good. They had some runs that came out of there. But, again, you know, our guys fought hard. We just got to – there are some mental errors we need to work through on that side. But I can't wait to watch the tape for me to give you all that detail. But, yeah, I like quick scores, and I like our defense to keep them out of the end zone. I think that's important.
It looked like a different team than what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel like
a team? Yes, it did. And I'm being very honest with you. I think it's the quarterback play. And I think it starts with Tyrod. I think it's, you know, our young quarterback. And I think it's Drew Stanton coaching his tail off and Kenny Zampezi coaching and Todd and the rest of the offensive staff. And I think the defensive staff watching a young Denzel Ward out there playing, you know, there was some good, there was some bad. And Kendricks and then the host of the other guys who have been here, watching those guys fly around and play, that's exciting. But like they know, you know, tonight is just we land a foundation for something we need to continue to improve at, which is every aspect of our football team over the next several weeks.
Tom Hamilton's call yesterday afternoon is the Indians with a 5-4 walk-off win with Mr. Smooth, Brantley. Let's talk some Tribe. Andre Knott from Chicago as the Indians take on the White Sox this weekend. Brought to you by AAA Advanced Plumbing. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Morning, Andre.
Good morning. How are you, Bill?
My first concern, seeing you on TV in the Gatorade shower, were you able to get a shower before you boarded the flight?
Yes, I was lucky enough to take a flight, get a quick shower before we got on the flight, so it wasn't all a whole sticky mess. There still was some areas that I wasn't able to clean exactly how I wanted to in Cleveland, but yes, I did.
That was my concern. I know Mike and I, first thing we looked at each other this morning, we knew you were going to be on the show, and we saw you get the Gatorade shower and some powder too earlier this week on one of those, and I thought, man, they had to get on a plane afterwards. I hope they, you know, that'd be a little messy getting on that flight.
Yeah, it would. A lot of guys didn't think about it or realize it. I know Cookie did, but Cookie said he was doing it regardless, so I had to grin and bear it basically yesterday, to say the least.
Well, you've held in there. I don't know. You even tried. I really was impressed at the way you went on about your interview, even when you wore the Gatorade container over your head, Andre.
Well, it might be my better look. I've been called Buckethead over the last 48 hours.
Hey, Dre, this team, you know, they're in a comfortable position, obviously, in the division, but it's good to see them have a couple of wins like this and just kind of get that vibe going again. It was fun those last 2 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mike, you're absolutely right. I had a buddy say, well, you know, they've been sleepwalking through the season, and I think they're human beings, and I think being up 9-8 games for over the last month and a half, it does change your motivation at times. But to a man, these guys have kind of said to me, they need to push themselves. Their biggest opponent is themselves until October. And Lindor told me, a couple days ago that they can't wait to flip a switch in October. They have to flip the switch now. And I think the signs of that have happened over the last two games. Now you have a big weekend here in Chicago where you really can't look at the opponent. You got to look in the mirror and look at what you have to do to accomplish.
You know, maybe an unsung hero this year in a way has been Greg Allen. What a story he's been. Andre, he's been up and down, my gosh, at least 5-6 times, right?
Oh, yeah. And they keep trying to, think about it. They keep trying to replace him, and rightfully so. I think he understands there's some things he needs to work on, but he gets 2 hits yesterday. He was part of the comeback against the Indians have, I think, 4 walk-offs. He's been instrumental in 2 of them, at least. When you think about what he was able to do in that Houston game way back when he hit the game-winning home run there. He's a humble kid. He's hard. If you meet him and you have one conversation with him, it's hard not to root for Greg Allen. But he has the right attitude for the situation that he's in, and hopefully we can look back at this year in a year or two and look at what Greg Allen went through, and we'll talk about why it made him a great big leaguer.
Now, kind of ironic, I know we're all kind of waiting from what the Indians told us about Leonis Martin yesterday with his health issue, and Lonnie Chisenhall, we're hearing now, may be back for the postseason. But, Andre, it's kind of ironic through all of it this year, the guy we talked about so much in the spring, and I knock on wood, but Michael Brantley has been the fixture in this outfit, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has been. I'll give a lot of credit to Michael. I know that it wasn't always the signing that made people, run to buy tickets or whatever else. And a lot of them question why they would sign Brantley back to such an amount. And then when you look at what happened in free agency, maybe you could have gotten him cheaper. The Indians made the right choice. And the Tito said they bet on the person, not the stats, not the injuries. Michael's about as solid as they come. At the end of the year, we're going to talk about Lindor and Ramirez having a chance to be MVPs and being top 3 probably between both of them. And I think both of them would tell you to a man that a lot of where they, a lot of their excellence comes from having Michael Brantley hitting between them, having Michael Brantley work out with them. He is an important cog of this machine, especially if you think about it. The offense didn't take off, guys, until they put Michael Brantley in that number 2 hole. Think about that.
Hammy talked to Tito before the game about, the noise, the talk about adding somebody. And look, Terry's going to say, publicly, as he did yesterday, look, we got our guys. Let's go see how good we can be. Is that the attitude, though, in that dugout, too?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, don't get me wrong. They love when they get someone. But I think at the same time, I think even after the Martin trade, when you made the trades for Simber and Ham, I know that Tito brought everybody together and said, hey, we could be good, we could be great, but why don't we try to be special? I think this is pretty much who they are.
Okay.
That's what I would say right now.
All right. You are who you are. I kind of like who they are.
I think most people would like who they are. I'll put it this way quickly, Bill. You know, you got two guys that are going to be in the top three, top four for the MVP. You've got two guys that are going to be in the top three for Cy Young. And if the health is right with Cody Allen and Andrew Miller, you got two or three better guys in the relief roles. I think if you're in New York, Boston, Houston, L.A., you name the place, I think most of them would take their chances if they had that type of lineup.
Shane Bieber starts for us tonight, and we've got the GambleAuto.com Tribe Insider with Nick Camino at 7, Tom Hamilton, Jim Rosenhaus. The call here, 8:10. Catch Andre and the crew, of course, over on Fox Sports, Sports Time Ohio. Andre Knott checks in every Friday on your Tribe. Thanks, pal.
Take care, boys.
Plenty of time. The throw over the middle is dropped.
They call it.
Or it's caught. David Njoku with his second touchdown of the night. So Baker Mayfield caps a drive for a touchdown for Cleveland. And Njoku has both touchdown catches for the Browns.
Last night, good broadcast on 5. Hopefully they can find Bernie his own microphone when they go to the field. That's the only, it's a
they should
pick.
Be able to get another second mic.
Come on, Bernie Kosar, let's get him his own microphone. So you're not handing them back and forth. Anyway, let's talk Browns in last night's game. Our guy is Fred Greetham at 24/7 Sports and follows the Browns for us at WTAM.com, who I told to stay up and watch all the second half. Hi, Fred.
I did. I watched the whole thing.
Good, because so. I didn't. Yeah. Halftime, that was it. I had to go to bed. That's why I wanted to make sure we had you on. All right, you got some great takeaways. If you follow Fred on Twitter, let me just go through a couple of these. Before we get to Baker, let's talk about offensive coordinator Haley. You like the Taylor no huddle just on that second series last night, right?
Yeah, I like to just throw that in right away after the first series was stagnant to give it a look and see. And, man, they went down the field 66 yards in a minute and 6 seconds. And it was good to see that change of pace and to pick up the pace. And David Njoku had that 36-yard touchdown.
And Njoku's a guy that certainly has a lot of raw ability, Fred. They are excited about him. He can be a difference maker, can't he? He's a matchup problem.
He can. He's a beast as far as physically. I mean, he's a specimen. Last year he had a little period in training camp where he dropped some passes. He dropped a big third down pass against the Packers that probably would have given him at least a win last year. But he had a drop, like 4 or 5 drops in one practice this year. But lately he's been catching the ball, and there's no question, if he can hang on to the ball, he's hard to cover for those defensive backs or linebackers or whoever they decide to put on him. He's big, he's strong, and he can jump.
Yeah, they can't get away with just a linebacker on him. You look back to last night, Fred, and we know you got to keep things in perspective this time of year. Heck, Brandon Weeden and Cody Kessler had big games last night elsewhere. But I really like the look of the way Baker just kind of ran the offense, seemed really to be in control out there. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can just see what some adequate quarterback play does between Taylor and Mayfield. It was efficient, and they put points on the board, and even 20 points, but it was good. I think you mentioned earlier, he took that sack, took them out of field goal range. That was really the biggest mistake I saw from Mayfield, and I didn't see any mistakes with Taylor. He looked very efficient, and so that bodes well for the Browns to have some competent quarterback play.
Yeah, very good beginning in that regard. Probably the only negative, and I know you tweeted it early in the game, the taunting calls from Denzel Ward and then even from Jarvis Landry. They got to clean that up. Come on, guys, right?
Yeah, I know. Those two guys are new to the team, but this team was 0-16. It's hard to believe you're taunting in the first preseason game in the first quarter. I don't think that's a good look, but overall, I mean, other than the first play when Saquon Barkley went 39 yards, the defense is really strong. They only gave up 10 points, and 7 was a gift when C.J. Board fumbled a punt on the 14-yard line. So I thought the defense really looked pretty good after that first play of the game.
Fred Greetham, follow him on Twitter, at Fred Greetham. Next up for the Browns will be the Bills here next Friday. You can see more at willsinsider.com on Baker's play and some reaction as well. Fred, thanks, pal. Have a good weekend, too.
All right, you guys, too.
It's Radio WTAM 1100 every Friday. Multi-Emmy award-winning Fox Sports personality, Indians Live co-host, analyst, Jensen Lewis checks in. Our Morning Indians update brought to you by Falls Motor City. You have to add the spew to that introduction, I think.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Wilsey.
Good morning. All right, 5-4. I like these walk-offs. They make me nervous, but I like them.
Well, I think I'm with Snides there. I don't think Minnesota wants to come back. And, you know, much as we saw a week or so ago when the Red Sox swept the Yankees right out of Fenway Park and essentially right out of the American League East competition, I think that's kind of what the Indians just did mentally to the Minnesota Twins. Because, guys, you think about it, if that third game doesn't go the Indians' way and Minnesota finds the ability to really rally and put up a nice win yesterday, all of a sudden they win 3 out of 4 at Progressive Field and make this a 7-game deficit. Well, now you look at where it is at 11. It's pretty much over. Sew it up. But now I think the Indians' focus moves to trying to catch Houston for that number 2 seed. Seattle beat them last night. So in the loss column, the Indians, I think, only trail them by 6 or 7 games. It'll be interesting to see where their mentality and motivation is now that the Central is wrapped up.
Yeah, you're right, Jensen. They do. You know, there is something to play for here the rest of the way. We've still almost got 2 months, but you know the division's in check. But now you're right. You can get that home field edge, and that can mean something for a ball club when you get to that time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Snides, I think we talked about it in studio there. You think about what the Indians' potential postseason matchup would be, and if it is starting tomorrow, that means they've got to go down to Houston, and that would mean a matchup with Justin Verlander in Game 1, and we would assume Gerrit Cole there in Game 2. Well, we know the Indians can handle Verlander. We know that it'll probably be Trevor Bauer against Gerrit Cole, the former UCLA teammates, and then you've got a real juicy one coming back to Cleveland with Carlos Carrasco against Dallas Keuchel. Boy, does that look way different if you've got to force Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole to play at Progressive Field in the first 2 games when you've got Kluber and Bauer going in those 2. So I'm convinced the Indians are understanding where they're at now. They took care of business by snuffing out any hope for the Twins in the Central, and I think they've really got a goal now. If they can do it, they want to try and catch Houston and make them have to come to Cleveland in that first round.
Well, now, to your point, the only team they really have with a winning record the rest of the season is Boston. I see Tampa's also there. But otherwise, it's the White Sox. It's the Royals. So they really have a shot of doing this, Jensen.
Yeah, it's nice. It's there for the taking. And no, they don't need to win 100 games or win 22 in a row like they did last year. The priority is obviously getting everybody healthy, getting Andrew Miller on a roll, and keeping Corey Kluber as close to 100% as you can at this point of the season, because we know the MVP candidates are going to continue to really bust their tails, and Lindor and Ramirez, they've got a ton to play for individually, and I think their teammates want to rally around them and give them the best possible chance they can to win those awards.
Frankie has 5 straight multi-hit games, leads the bigs with 47. I mean, he's just on base every time you look up.
Yeah, and he's got 100 runs now, guys, and he wanted, one of his goals at the beginning of the year was to lead the majors in runs. He's well on his way, and with Ramirez, guys, it reminds me of Chipper Jones. We're talking about a Hall of Fame weekend. You guys were talking about Jim Thome.
Right.
To be able to hit 300 from the left and right side for your career, that's what Jose Ramirez is reminding me of with that average and that power. He is a one-man wrecking crew.
All right, you and Al on tonight?
We are on 7:30 tonight, Sports Time Ohio. And, Billy, where are you playing golf today?
You know what? Nowhere.
What? He sadly says.
Yeah.
we gotta remedy that soon, guys.
Sometime.
We got a TAM outing. New employee outing. How about that?
We will. Thanks, Jensen. See you, pal.